Hello, this is Sharon. I'm bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, April 8th, 2026. As always, we begin on the front page. This article is entitled Downtown Bloomington, The Factory, A Creative Space. Developer's Passion Project Makes Warehouse an Art Haven. A Bloomington developer is opening The Factory, a warehouse full of rental spaces for creative people of all types in downtown Bloomington. This weekend, community members will have the opportunity to tour the spaces for free during The Factory's first of many open houses. The first open house will take place from 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, April 11th and Sunday, April 12th, at 210 East Douglas Street in Bloomington. The Factory is a warehouse for creatives. It's a warehouse for antiques. It's a warehouse for hobbyists. It's a warehouse for crafters. It's a warehouse for artists, owner and developer Mike Manna said. Manna emphasized his background in art education at Illinois State University as a driving factor for his personal interest in the project, which he said he's been dreaming about for over two decades. I'm very excited about it, and mainly because it's in my wheelhouse. This is what I do, said Manna. I would be that guy that would rent from myself. While working downtown on various other projects he has been involved in, Manna had stumbled upon the Douglas Street building while owning neighboring properties. The warehouse had previously been owned by ISU's art school and was already fitted out for artists. It had sinks for washing brushes, for example. It was around 2005 when Manna first took interest in the space. Manna has been working as a developer for around 35 years, but he's always seen himself as a creative person. Taking a space and turning it into something completely different for people like him appealed to him. The developer earned his undergraduate degree in drawing and painting through ISU in 1994 and his master's in art education in 1998, also from ISU. Manna noted the importance of artists looking for inspiration, which often requires them to work in spaces that are not in their own homes. For Manna, making a space that allowed creatives to reach their fullest potential includes a comfortable environment with heat and air, quietness for focus, and 24/7 access to allow artists to utilize the space whenever inspiration strikes. I modeled it after something I would want, Manna said. Manna said he would call ISU each year, asking if it was interested in selling him the warehouse, which was already being used by art students. Each year, ISU would tell Manna it was waiting for a grant that would allow it to move and liquidate the property. Finally, 19 months ago, the guy that I was talking to at ISU called me. He said, "Hey, Mike, we're going to sell that building," Manna said. The eight ISU students using the Douglas Street warehouse were moved to a space at Eastland Mall, allowing Manna to begin developing the space. Manna has owned the warehouse for the last 18 months, acting quickly to get his hands on the space and renovate the space into what it is now. There were tons of dominoes to line up there before we were able to get it, Manna said. The 12,000-square-foot warehouse features 22 art studios and two gallery spaces for residents, with studio sizes ranging from 300 to 1,000 square feet, which are priced from $250 to $1,000 a month, with 24/7 access for tenants and no additional cost for utilities. Outside, there is a courtyard which abuts the Old House Society and a store called Studio G, which Manna hopes to have ready by mid-summer for the beginning of downtown's first Friday events. Spaces are now available for rent. My background all the way through my life was always art, Manna said. I was always making art before I went to school for it. Then I went to school for it, and I'm still a practicing artist. Other than this weekend's open houses, Manna intends to allow the warehouse to be open for First Friday weekends, where he plans to host events in the courtyard. That will allow community members to see the space, purchase from the shop, and see art. For more information on renting a studio or to get a tour, contact Red Bird Property Management at redbird at redbirdapts.com, or you can call 309-454-4888. For more information on the warehouse, visit the factory's Facebook page. And again, if you'd like to go, this is called The Factories, and it's their open house, located at 210 East Douglas Street in Bloomington, Saturday, April 11th, and Sunday, April 12th, from 1 to 4 p.m. each day. There is no cost. Normal Town Council. Uptown North TIF, $62 million redevelopment, tabled. A new tax increment financing district and a $61.8 million Uptown Normal redevelopment it would fund will have to wait until later this month after the town council opted to table a series of measures. City Manager Pam Reese said after the Monday council meeting, the decision was made to reevaluate some of the technical language used in the TIF documents and the proposed redevelopment plan. The tabled items included amending the existing downtown TIF district, approving a redevelopment plan, designating a new project area, and adopting the new Uptown North TIF district. According to town documents, town staff said the proposed Uptown North TIF is intended to encourage redevelopment of underutilized parcels by resetting the existing TIF timeline for certain properties and allowing them to benefit from a new district. The plan would remove 29 parcels from the current downtown TIF, including both the Trail East and West parking lots, which flank Constitution Boulevard on the north side of Uptown Circle, the Ecology Action Center, Normal Public Library, and vacant former Busey Bank and Commerce Bank buildings, all at the intersection of College and Broadway Avenues, and several parking areas near the water treatment plant. These parcels would then be incorporated into the new Uptown North TIF, which would cover around 24 acres, including street rights-of-way, or 8 acres not including the rights-of-way, and 31 parcels of real property generally located north of Uptown Circle along Constitution Boulevard north to Mulberry Street. Although largely developed, the area includes vacant buildings and almost 3 acres of parking considered prime for redevelopment, according to town documents. The plan also cites aging infrastructure and deteriorating conditions as factors for qualifying the area for state approval of the redevelopment. A TIF district diverts a portion of property taxes in the designated area into a fund to pay for redevelopment. When a TIF district is established, taxing bodies continue to receive their pre TIF property taxes, but additional tax revenue generated by rising property values goes into the TIF fund. A TIF district doesn't reduce a property's tax bill, but it changes where that money goes. The original downtown TIF was established in 2003 and originally set to expire in 2026, but state lawmakers approved a 12-year extension for the underdeveloped portion of the district in 2018 to push the expiration date to 2038. The proposed Uptown North TIF is intended to replace the current TIF and overlap certain areas because the current extension to 2038 is considered too short to secure funding for major projects, such as the Trail East and West developments. The clock would reset and provide a full 23-year lifespan for the new TIF district. The redevelopment plan, which was prepared by St. Louis-based consultant PGAV, outlines goals for improving infrastructure, addressing blight, attracting private investments, and growing the local tax base. The area's current total taxable value sits at about $2.67 million, and it is projected to grow to more than $37 million with the redevelopment. The measures will be revisited and voted on at the next council meeting on April 20th. Today's Flick Fact question: can you name the plant that 120 years ago was considered the miracle drug of the age, but today grows in your yard until you get rid of it? Well, the answer is the dandelion. In the early 1900s, people would actually sneak into each other's yards and steal them. It was considered a wonderful medicine. Bloomington once had dandelion thefts, according to the newspaper, but times changed because today we pay to kill them. And from the back pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago on April 8th, 1926, Bloomington is to be advertised far and near. Away up in the vicinity of Lamont, 100 miles north on the Illini Boulevard, a great display board will be erected, calling the attention to the location of the Evergreen City. 75 years ago, April 8, 1951. Can't tell just what business will be located at 110 North Main Street, but it probably won't be a millinery shop. That's too bad in a way, because women's hats have been dispensed from that address for almost 70 years. It was in that building in 1883 that Seibel Brothers Millinery was founded. 50 years ago, on April 8, 1976, three students from Normal and one from Morton were among the winners of merit scholarships. This list is the first of three this spring. Catherine M. Leitch, Philip S. Tuttle, Mark W. Sawyer, and Brian P. Green. And 25 years ago today, on April 8, 2001, three ice and water rescue suits already have paid off for the Bloomington Fire Department. The department spent $1,000 for the suits and trained firefighters in their use over the winter. On April 4th, Captain Gary Shushka and firefighter Jim Stokes donned the gear to rescue a Bloomington woman and her 2-year-old son from a partially submerged car in a south side pond. Though neither she nor her son suffered any long-term effects from the ordeal, The temperature of the water is what made this rescue critical, said Stokes. That little kid and his mother had been in the water about 10 minutes, and you get very concerned about hypothermia, he said. Town of Normal, $775,000 for sidewalks, okayed. The town of Normal is moving forward with about $775,000 in annual sidewalk and accessibility improvements throughout the community. The Normal Town Council on Monday approved the town's 2026 sidewalk improvements, with J.G. Stewart Contractors Incorporated of Bloomington. Work is expected to begin this month and continue through the fiscal year as project and repair locations are assigned. The project is part of the town's ongoing effort to maintain and update pedestrian infrastructure while ensuring compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act standards. Work will include repairing and replacing deteriorating sidewalks, as well as installing and upgrading ADA-compliant curb ramps at intersections. Specific sidewalk repair and construction locations are identified by engineering staff and assigned to the contractor throughout the contract period. Under the town's 50-50 sidewalk program, the cost of sidewalk replacement is shared between the municipality and the adjacent property owners. The program helps accelerate repairs while balancing the financial responsibility between residents and the town. In other news, the town approved spending almost $195,000 on a set of vehicle safety barriers and a transport trailer from Advanced Security Technologies. According to town documents, the barriers are designed to reduce the risk of accidental vehicle incidents and intentional vehicle-based threats to the public during large gatherings like parades and festivals. The 72-unit barrier system is modular and designed for quick setup and can cover up to 10 lanes of traffic while allowing for managed access points for pedestrians instead of using large public works vehicles as barriers. Normal Police Chief Steve Petrilli told the council the barriers can be strung together or staggered to allow for more adjustments, depending on the type and layout of community events. Petrilli added that the barriers are rated to stop vehicles as large as semi-trucks traveling up to 60 miles per hour. The council also voted to amend Town Code for the Open Meetings Act to add two additional reasons for remote attendance. These include unexpected child care obligations and performance of active military duty. The council also approved two contract extensions with Cardinal Infrastructure for professional services related to grant processes and congressional delegations to maximize state and federal funding opportunities. The contract is $58,080 a year, which represents a 10% increase from the current contract and will not exceed $2,000 per year for direct documented expenses, including traveling, business meals, and mail. Yoga, crystals, crafts. Garden of Beden moves and unites three business ventures. Garden of Beden, a full-service bead and hobby store, recently moved to One Auto Drive in Bloomington to accommodate owner Tandy Shazar's various jewelry-making, crystal, and wellness businesses in one space. It's a space that I'm hoping to kind of more open for community. It's really about bringing community together in either an artistic way or in a spiritual way, Shazar said. The store has been opened for 25 years, and while it has moved a few times around Bloomington, it had been at 901 South El Dorado Road for the last 10 years. The store officially moved to the new location on March 23rd. Shazar expanded the business to include Garden of Crystals, which also sells on Amazon, and carries high-end crystals and rocks along with natural stone beads. 5 years ago, she also opened a meditation studio called Garden of Eden in a separate nearby location, so it came time for her to find a bigger space to accommodate all the businesses under one roof, including classroom space for various jewelry making and meditation classes, Shazar said. She sought a large enough location to allow a storefront with the meditation studio in the back. So I kind of have all three of the gardens in one spot in location. For the sake of ease for me, for the sake of better shopping for the customers as well, she said. I always want to focus on the jewelry making side of things, so I knew that I needed a classroom environment. I knew as I was going to grow, I wanted a separate classroom so I can continue teaching in a less crowded environment, she added. It took a bit of time for her to see the vision of the new space, but right after the third visit, she felt it was right. She said other business owners in the shopping plaza have already introduced themselves and have been welcoming. There is also a lot of customer cross-traffic in the area, so it has worked out for the business to be in a more retail-like environment, she added. Prior to opening the business, Shazar spent 13 years in the military, and after having kids, she wanted to have something with more flexibility. Her mother was a silversmith, so she's always been around jewelry making and loves the artistic side of it, she said. The meditation part of the business is guided by specific classes and is membership-based. It offers classes that focus on breath work, guided meditation, yoga, and tai chi, and it is simply an open studio when there aren't any ongoing classes. Members also can have access to a Himalayan salt sauna, red light therapy table, and more. Customers are impressed by the added space. Where I did have a lot of stuff in a little tiny space before, now it is definitely spread out. You can walk around, she said. And then secondly, it's just the overall feel of it. I decorated. I put a lot of thought into even the color of the paint that I went with, down to the wallpaper. So it has a more kind of upscale feel than where I left, and a totally different vibe, like it just looks completely different. So it's like a whole refresh. Additionally, the store has new hours. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, and noon to 4 p.m. on Sunday, which applies to all parts of the business. The owner said she wants to focus on amping up her teaching side of things. The business also hosts beadathons, where people will bring in their projects and work on them from 6 p.m. until midnight while they eat, drink, and mingle. They also do short meditation retreats where people are invited in for either 3 or 6 hour sessions at a time. If you'd like to go, again, this is called Garden of Beden, located at 1 Auto Road Drive, Suite 250 in Bloomington. They're open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays, and noon to 4 p.m. on Sunday. To find them online, go to gardenofbeden.info or search Garden of Beden on Facebook. Their telephone number is 309-664-6000. Beach Boys to Play Arena. The Beach Boys are bringing the Sounds of Summer tour to downtown Bloomington this summer. The concert will take place at 7 p.m. Thursday, August 13th at Grossinger Motors Arena, 101 South Madison Street in Bloomington. This year, the American rock band is celebrating the 60th anniversary of its 11th studio album, Pet Sounds, as well as 250 years of the United States. The band has been making music for more than half a century. In that time, the Beach Boys have sold more than 100 million records and earned more than 33 RIAA Platinum and Gold Awards. The Beach Boys are best known for hits like Surfin' USA, California Girls, Good Vibrations, Kokomo, Fun, 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 Surfer Girl, I Get Around, Help Me Rhonda, Barbara Ann, and Wouldn't It Be Nice. The group's founding members included brothers Brian, Dennis, and Carl Wilson, their cousin Mike Love, and friend Al Jardine. Love and Jardine are the only living original members and have since added others to the band lineup. This iconic American band is continuing to ride the crest of a wave unequaled in American's music history, according to a news release from the arena. Pre-sale tickets will go on sale at 10 a.m. tomorrow, April 9th, via Ticketmaster. A general sale will take place starting at 10 a.m. on Friday, April 10th. You can visit GrossingerMotorsArena.com for more information. Normal Theater to Show Librarians. The Normal Theater will host a free screening on April 10th of The Librarians, a documentary film depicting librarians' struggles across the nation as censorship movements seek to remove books from libraries. The screening of the roughly 90-minute film starts at 6:30 p.m. A discussion with Emily Knox, author of Book Banning in the 21st Century, will follow. The film highlights the issues librarians across the country are facing in these culture wars and helps us understand what is at stake as some communities seek to censor librarians and our collections, said Karen Schmidt, retired librarian and lead organizer of the event. It's alarming to see the increasing numbers of librarians being challenged and fired for defending our collective right to read. It's especially disturbing to know that readers of all ages might be denied the opportunity to learn and connect with other points of view and to understand the world we live in. The event is co-sponsored by several organizations, including the ACLU of Central Illinois, Not in Our Town, Bloomington Normal, and the Prairie Pride Coalition. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for April 8th, 2026. Please stay tuned.